hair is much better than the other products for natural hair. You know, you oh boy, Dale, I might need some help. You know what I'm saying? You know, this product helps your hair not be crunchy. You know what I'm saying? Or this, you know, or you get into this serious conversation about, you know, is she still wearing weave? Or is she, you know, is she still using relaxers? This church is moving in a different direction. You know what I'm saying? Guys, this is the thing. When was the last time, though? I mean, I want you to think about it seriously. What are we talking about? Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. So we can tell what's important to us by the things that we talk about. Right? Most of you celebrated Christmas this past Sunday. And in that, did you talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ? Or was there anybody that you could relate to or talk to about it? Or was most of your conversation starters something like, did you see what happened on Facebook? Did you see on Facebook? Or did you see on Instagram? Right? Guys, Jesus Christ is coming back. All right? There is a day of the Lord that is spoken about in the scripture where all these scriptures are in reference to. And we're going to look at a verse of scripture today, and it's coming out of 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. And I don't have any points. I'm just going to kind of, we're going to just pull out the verses, what we can pull out, study for a little bit, and then we're going to go home. Amen? So let's go on and look at 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll start at verse 1. All right, it's already on the screen, so I'm going to begin reading. Verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things has continued as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflooded with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we give you glory for just another opportunity, Lord God, to be in your presence. Father, I pray now, Lord God, that you would speak to us, Lord God. Speak through me, oh God. I pray, Lord God, that I would be removed, that I can actually learn from your word, oh God. Holy Spirit, we ask right now, Lord God, that you would just engulf us right now, God. I pray, Lord God, that you would bind out any spirit that would try to hinder your word from going forth, oh God. I pray, Lord God, that your angelic angels would be encamped around about this place, God. Father, I'm asking, Lord God, that you would not only speak to us, Lord God, but I ask, Lord God, that you would connect with our hearts today, oh God. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would convict us where we need convicting. Show us just things that we need to do better, oh God. Father, I'm asking, Lord God, that this service tonight be filled with your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, guys, we're going to go ahead and start with the first verse. And, again, all we're going to do is kind of look through that thing, pick it apart, and see what God is trying to tell us. All right? So let's look at this. First verse, it says, first verse of 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. Now, what epistle is just an old-fashioned text message. That's all it is. It was a letter. All right? Now, this thing is that this is the second time that Peter is writing to the same group of people. Now, the thing is this here. Why is he writing to them again? We're going to look. He says this here. Now, I write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Apparently, Peter told them something a while ago, and he didn't quite get it. So he says, look, in both epistles that I wrote to you, I'm going to write to you again because I need to stir up something. I need to stir up your minds. Now, this word stir up, now the Greek for stir, now y'all got to bear with me. Now, I ain't go to PCA. Let me say it like that. But every time I say I went to public school, people seem to get offended by that. All right? So the Greek word is that one right there. Y'all got it? The gero, all right, which means to wake up, to awaken, to arouse from sleep. Now, this is the thing. So Peter is talking to the church right here, and he's saying, look, guys, I need y'all to wake up. Apparently, the church is sleeping or they're not alert to what's actually going on. The things that are most important, we're not talking about. So he's telling the church, hey, guys, I really need y'all to wake up. The information that I'm getting ready to give you is very, very, very important. It doesn't matter if a person's hair is natural or relaxed. It doesn't matter if you shoot the buck or you miss the deer twice. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter if you shoot a deer, right? They tell you that you didn't shoot it. And then the next day, somebody else comes and kills it, but you see on the camera that you actually wounded the deer. All right, that's for another subject. But this is the thing. He says this here. He says, I now write unto you in both which I stir up. I'm trying to wake the church up. It's like the church is like on some type of medication. Like they're so sedated with everything that's going on social media. They're so sedated with everything that's going on television. It's like, man, we hear in church, right? We come to church all the time and we hear the real word of God. And it's like we kind of, yeah, praise God, John 3:16. Yeah, for God so loved, he loved everybody. You know, and we so used to getting so much word that we're not really paying attention. All right? But Peter is saying this here, guys, look, I already wrote it to you once. I'm going to have to do it again. It says, to stir up your pure minds, all right, by way of remembrance. Now, this is the thing. He didn't say just to stir up our minds. Because you got to understand, in a single day, our minds process so much information until it's just crazy. All day long, we're constantly in front of something, taking on information. But yet, we're not stirring up our pure minds. We're watching all this stuff that goes on television and magazines, and we're listening to this, and we're listening to that. Our mind is so full of all kind of junk. You know, but he's saying this here, I need to stir up your pure minds. Now one way to stir up your mind is, and I have, you know, this is something that I do all the time. I when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I grab is I go to the Lord and I read some scripture. Because I'm trying to stir up my pure mind. You see, too many times your other mind is already stirred up. That's why you're thinking, how I'm going to get back at this one. That's why you're gossiping about this one and talking about that one. Or you can't, you know, it's so easy for us to think evil thoughts. Right? It's like it's so natural. Why? Because our mind is unpure. I mean, the thoughts is unpure. The devil throws all kind of stuff at us, and instead of us, we casting that thing down, what we do? We sit there and just, we just let that thing just run all around in our head, right? And then we like, oh, well, you know, I have to analyze this. I have to really think about it. God never told you to think about it. He said to cast it down. Take into captivity every thought, right? Peter's saying, look, man, I got to wake y'all up because the church is asleep. We talk about all kind of stuff. We talk about salvation, and salvation is great. We talk about, you know, helping this one and helping that one and giving and all that stuff. That is great. But the most important thing is this, that Jesus Christ is coming back. It's not like, you know, this thing has already been scheduled on the calendar. It's already started, right? But the thing is this here, we're not really concerned about that. So he says, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. What is the thing that Peter wants us to remember? All right? Verse 2. He says that you be mindful. Now look at that. He says, I want to stir up your pure minds, right? To wake you up. And then in verse 2, he comes right back and says, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken by who? By the holy prophets. What in the world was the holy prophets talking about? We're going to look. Over 19 times between the major prophets and the minor prophets, there's a reference to the day of the Lord. I'm not going to bore you with all 19. But we're going to look at three of them just to kind of set the tone of what's going on. All right? Let's look at the first one. Isaiah 13, 6 through 9. I think I'm going to read it off the little teeth, whatever that is, right, that monitor. It says, howl ye. Oh! I just wanted to do that. That's not even the scripture we're looking at. No, I'm just kidding. It says this here. Okay. It says, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Now, when it says howl ye, it's almost like the sound that a dog would make, like you barking at the moon. But it's saying that the day of the Lord is going to be so intense that you're going to be screaming with agony. That's what it's saying. It says, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Now, wait a minute now. I thought everything was supposed to be great. You know, we're Christians. We're going to make it in. Praise God. Hallelujah. The day of the Lord. Nah. I'm going to tell you right now, the day of the Lord is going to be, the day of the Lord is going to be like this here. It's going to be a day that starts off very, 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 very bad. But it's going to end very, very, very good. Right? Let's continue to read. Verse 7, that'll work. It says, therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. What it's saying is the day of the Lord is going to be so bad that it's almost like as this paralysis sets in on a man's body, those that are still left here and caught up in the day of the Lord. Verse 8. And they shall be afraid. Pains and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. Now, I've never travailed before, but I've been with a travailing woman, you know. And she travailed and did pretty good, right? But it's talking about when a woman's getting ready to have a baby, their birth pains are getting stronger. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Now, when they say that they shall be amazed, they're not saying like, wow, look at you. They're so stunned and so shocked that they can't believe what's actually going on. Like it's going to be such a horrific day that they can't even believe that this stuff is taking place. Verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, total annihilation of the land. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Now, Peter is telling the church, he says, man, look, I need you to remember what was spoken of by the prophets, by the holy prophets. Let's look at Jeremiah 46:10. We're talking about the day of the Lord, the second coming. He says, for the day of the Lord, God of hosts, a day of vengeance. Where's the joy and the laughter and the happiness? And he says, the day of the Lord is a day for this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries. Now, who is his adversaries? Everyone that doesn't have an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of us, we come to church on Sunday, we come to church on Tuesday, we even come to prayer. Sometimes we even come to prayer during the day, you know? But we don't get in by association. We have to have a true relationship with Almighty God. So he says that he may avenge him, that he may avenge him of his adversaries. And you thought Incredible Hulk was somebody. This is the great avenger of all times. Avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiated. That means just satisfy. I might be saying that word wrong. And made drunk with their blood. Now this doesn't sound like a thing that we should be getting all excited about. You know, man, Jesus Christ is coming back. Woohoo! We was all excited. When Jesus Christ is coming back, now we just kind of like, wait a minute. I don't know if we, no, okay, Jesus, praise God. I just hope it gets better. Let's keep going. Amos chapter 5, verses 18. And I just want to set this thing up because the second coming is very, very important. All right? It starts off with a beautiful three-letter word. It says, whoa. Now, I would prefer to see a doe, but that's just for the hunters. I'm just throwing it out there, seeing if y'all paying attention. Amos 5:18, it says, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. Those of you that's all excited about it, man, he says, woe unto you. And look why he says that. He says, to what end is it for you? What you going to get out of it? Because the day of the Lord itself is this. The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Man. He says, both I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words that were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now, I want you to look at this. When we're looking at verse 1 through 10, it kind of gives you a past, a present, and a future, right? We look back to the past of what the holy prophets wrote. All right. Now, we know when Jesus was on earth, he alluded to, look, man, I'm leaving, but I'm coming back. Right. The apostles themselves, they spoke about the return of Christ. And we know what John said in the book of Revelations, chapter 6. And you can go all the way to about chapter 17 or 18 when the vials begin to open and the trumpet begin to blow. And you hear that. And all just sudden destruction is coming up on the earth. It's not going to be a good day. It's not nothing. They won't have anything to smile about. Now, what Peter here is doing is saying, now, look, man, I know y'all trusting the prophets of old, right? But look, not only just them, now he's bringing up the apostles. Man, look, we walked with Jesus. We talked with Jesus. We was there when he was performing the miracles. I need you to understand the commandments that we give you is just as important. All right? So he says this here, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the prophet. We know that the day of the Lord is full of disaster. And the commandments of the apostles and the Lord our Savior. Verse 3, he's about to give them the game. He's giving the church the game right here. All right? And he says this here in verse 3. Knowing this first. All right? And all that means is this is the most important thing that you're ever going to hear. He says that there shall come in the last days scoffers. All right? Now, again, we said that we dealt in the past by the prophets. Now we're coming and bringing it time to the present. All right? He's saying this here. Now, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Now, when are they going to come? In the last days. When did the last days start? When Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. Right? The last days start. So the thing is this here, it's like, man, it's 2,000 years in past. And he ain't come back yet, you know? But the Bible says this is going to be a sure sign that we're in the last days. He says there's going to be scoffers. Now, what is scoffers? A scoffer is somebody that constantly kicks their brand new shoes up against a concrete wall. No, that would be scuffers. All right? A scoffer. A scoffer is one who mocks, ridicules, or scorns the belief of another. Now, he's saying this here. A sure sign way that we're living in the last days is there going to be some scoffers. Everybody's not going to go along with you just accepting Christ and having a true relationship with God. Everybody's not going to be like, man, praise God, man, glad to see it. You know, your friends, your coworkers, your family. And then they're going to be all just cheering that you have stepped out of darkness and into light. They're not going to be all excited about that. So I want you to get the mind frame and the state of mind that, look, you have chosen the right path. It's time for them to get on board, right? In the last days, there shall be scoffers. Again, everybody's not going to agree with what you do. Some of you might, maybe over the weekend, they was kind of, you know, scoffing at you. What's some examples of maybe some scoffing going on? Now, you've been drinking all your life. You got saved last week. Some of y'all. You go to your family for the holidays, and they used to pour in that little cup of drink for you to celebrate the good times. But you said, nah, I'm not going to do it. And they look at you like, what, your pastor say you can't drink? And what? Well, we've been drinking. Man, that's just a little sip. Jesus turned water into wine. Man, there's nothing wrong with a little VO. Oh, that looks some of them say, All right, let me see. Crown and Coke for some, can I get, no. Okay, so this is the thing. They will look at you like something is totally wrong with you. When they say, well, look, man, we're going to go out to the casino after we have dinner. You coming? Nah, man, I don't get down like that no more. What's wrong with you? Well, we just going to play a few games. We're going to have some fun. What, you don't like to have fun with? Now you can't have fun? You know, they scoffing at what you believe. And the thing is this here, you have to be mindful and stir up your pure minds, because if you don't, you're going to be like, well, Man, I'm going to just spend 20. That's it. You know. In the last days, it's going to be scoffers. Now, the thing is this here. Not only does a scoffer mocks, ridicules, and scorns the belief of another, but he actively recruits others to take his side. Right? So when you're over there, right, you might be talking with one person. Now, look, I'm not going to get high today. You know, I'm a born again believer, man. Christ is, I don't do that no more. Then he going, psst. Boy, look at that boy tripping. Boy, look, and then the next one. Boy, you tripping like that, boy? We've been doing this, or we've been going there. We've been doing all this stuff, and now you're going to stop? Man, what's wrong with you? You done lost your mind? You crazy or something? Scoffers. It's a sure sign that we're living in the last days. How can you tell that we're living in the last days? Because people are going to constantly go against what is truth. You know? People don't want truth. People don't want to believe a lie, right? Because it's so much easier to believe a lie. You know what I'm saying? We've been taught a certain way. We've been doing this here for 40-something years. We've been doing, my grandmother did it this way. My great-grandmother did. Man, it's good. I heard a story one time that they had this lady, man, she was cooking a pot roast, right? So before she cooked it, she would cut the ends off the pot roast before she put it in a pot and cook it up. So the daughter asked her mom, you know, asked the lady, her mom, why do you cut the ends off the pot roast? She said, well, that's how my mama did it. All right? So they went to the grandmother and they said, Mama, why do you cut the ends off the pot roast? She said, well, that's how my grandmother did it. So we went to the great-grandmother, and they say, Mama, why do you cut the ends off the pot roast before you cook it? She said, baby, that was the only way it's going to get in the pot. Her pot was too small, but yet we go along, and we do things just like everybody else is doing it. Don't clap too long. Don't clap too long. I'm telling you right now, I'm looking at my time, and we're getting out in a little bit. Pastor, how you doing? I pray healing up on you, my brother, in Jesus' name. All right, so this is the thing. All right, knowing this first, this is the most important thing, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Now, again, they're going to ridicule and mock you for your belief. For your belief in Christ. They're on the job, they're going to do all kind of stuff to come against you. But the thing is to ask, man, why would somebody do something like that? Why would somebody want to scorn or mock somebody else's belief? Look at the B side of verse 3. It says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers doing what? Walking after their own lust. Now, what does it mean to walk after your own lust? Man, to do whatever you want to do. If it feels good, you do it. And a lot of us, especially nowadays, man, we are living just that way. Man, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I don't care about you. I don't care about the next person. I'm going to do me. And if you get in my way, then there's going to be some problems, right? It says they're walking after their own lust. I always think about, when, you know, in John chapter 3, when Jesus said, you know, how does the scripture go? He says, I did not send my son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Then he goes on down, I think it's around maybe 18 or 19. He says, but this is the condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light. In other words, they love their sin. They love getting high. They love being in adulterous relationship. They love fornicating. They love stealing. They love lying. Them suckers are lying to you in your face. And then you go back and you lie to them, boy, they get all upset. Boy, the worst thing you can do to a liar is lie to them. You know? What they're doing is what? They're walking after their own lust. They're being controlled by their own fleshly desires. And we have to be careful with that, even in the church, because again, Peter is talking to the church. He's not talking to the worldlings right here. He's talking to the church. He's saying, man, I got to stir up your minds because apparently you done forgot some things. Let's put first things first. What's the most important thing? The thing is this here, Jesus Christ is coming back. The day of the Lord is coming, and I need you to be thinking about that. Also this here, man, in the last days, there's going to be some scoffers. Some people are going to come there, and they're going to ridicule. They're going to talk about you. They're going to talk down on you. But this is the thing. Don't be offended by that. Too many times Christians, they get offended too easy. Oh, boy, it's me. I'm talking about. Man, chill out, man. The only reason they're mad at you or they don't dislike you is because apparently they see something different in you. Right? So get some tougher skin. Oh, boy, I know I'm going to get it for that one. Look, Misha, putting that. Why did he say tougher skin? Okay. Brothers and sisters, I just wish that you would not be so offended as easily. Is that okay, baby? So, all right. It says there, it's in the last days we have scoffers walking after their own lust. And look at the argument of the scoffers. Verse 4. They go, the reason that they're going to scoff at you, the reason that they're going to do what they want to do, the reason that they're not going to go along with you, because the idea that Jesus Christ is coming back is foolish to them. Why? Look what they say. They say in verse 4, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? Now, Jesus has been, y'all been saying Jesus Christ was coming back. Now, it's like 2,000 years in past. And that boy, he still ain't never came back. But the thing is, God promised it. Jesus said he promised that he was coming back. Now, for someone who has the foolish idea that Jesus Christ is not coming back, he's saying something like, man, I'm not going to die. I ain't never died before. That sounds stupid, right? But this is the thing. In their head, they already convinced themselves. And now remember, a scoffer is not only going to mock you, but he's going to recruit others to take on the same idea that he has. But I got to tell you this here, how the scripture goes in Proverbs 11:12. He says, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not go unpunished. So regardless of how many people is against you and saying that, look, man, don't worry about that. Look, Jesus ain't never came back yet. He's not coming back. And they got some on the internet, man, on YouTube, but they got some foolishness on there. And they try to sound so intellectual, right? I think about this brother right now. His caption on YouTube is, Jesus, there is no rapture, and Jesus Christ is not coming back. And he's up there, and he's going in, and it just sounds so, the boy sounds stupid, man, really. He sounds foolish. But the thing is, they're saying that, where's the promise of his coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. Now I want you to catch this. This idea or this philosophy is called, go ahead and put that word, uniformitarianism. Y'all got that word? There you go. Now, if my daughter would come from PCA and say, Daddy, what is this word? I'm going to say, baby, that's a sentence word. Daddy didn't have sentence words when he was in school. Uniformitarianism, it's a long word that really don't have really mean much. It just rules out divine intervention in history. So what they're saying is this here. There has never been, throughout the history of mankind, any type of catastrophic event that was performed by God himself. God has never done any type of divine intervention into the lives of humanity. Right? But yet they say, since creation. Since creation? Man, you're talking about a world that was void. God spoke, let there be. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord moved across the waters. And you're going to say, oh, well, God never intervened? I always think about this here, man, when I read the Genesis account about creation. And, you know, I can just see, you know, on each day, God, you know, did this and he did that. And when he got to the part where he talks about the land separating from the water, I can hear God just kind of, you know, speaking to the mountains. Mount Kilimanjaro. Rise, and that thing just stand up, roar, you know, Mount Fuji, rise, and then, you know, and the Ozark and the Smoky Mountain, they're all excited, they can't wait till they turn, and, you know, and he calls it in, and they rise up, and then you get to the Levee and Henderson, and you like, man, I tell you what, it's your boy, look at you, my name is about to be called, hey, ça c'est bon. All right, don't laugh too long. Don't laugh too long. Okay. Imagine the left is like really getting excited. Kilimanjaro stood up and you about this tall. But look, God spoke creation into existence. That right there was a big event. Right? That was a huge event. And they say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. But this is so false. And Peter's going to address that in a little bit. Like he's going to say, man, how foolish are you to even think that? And I can tell you now, man, there's a lot of in the science realm, and you know, for those of you that's in college, you know that this idea is really pushed in school, you know, in the universities, because you know they want you to believe that everything is just slowly evolving over time and nothing really happening. But look how Peter responds to the scoffers. And the thing is this here, man, we need to make sure that we in our Bible and understand what God's word says. So when people come at us with that foolishness sounding so intellectual, you would be able to have an answer. The Bible says you'd have an answer for every man. Right? But the thing is this here, if your mind is never stirred up by the word of God, guess what? You're going to sit there like, well, maybe. I know what he did for me. We need to study God's word. And not just the Old Testament, but the New Testament. And if you look at this thing when he's addressing, he made sure that he had the old and the new. Some of us, man, we go too far to the left. We want to study just the Old Testament and the Torah and all that stuff right there. But when we say, well, that's that. I'm going strictly to the New Testament. You got to study it all. All right? So let's see how Peter responds to the scoffers. Verse 5. He says, for this they are willingly ignorant of. Okay. He said, for this they are willingly ignorant. In other words, he's saying they just foolish on purpose. They forget on purpose. They got what is called selective amnesia, right? Because first of all, they talked about creation. Now, if they didn't believe in a God or if there was no God, why would you even bring creation up in your argument? That sounds pretty dumb to me, all right? So it says, for this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. All it is an account of creation. You know, when God moved along the waters and he separated the land from the seas and he put this water canopy around the earth and that's all that verse 5 is talking about. Now, not only did he talk about creation, but look at verse 6. Being that, you know, this idea of uniformitarianism, he's going to answer this here. He says, not only did God do something big for creation, but look what he said verse 6. Whereby the world that was being overflowed with water perished. Now, what in the world is he talking about it right there? Because he's giving them two accounts straight off the top. Number one is creation. Number two is Noah's flood. So my question to you is, how much of each animal did Moses bring on the ark? Okay, that's good. By time, I've been catching y'all with that for like the last 5 years. And two of them, there were two. All right? So he's saying this here. Whereby the world that was being overflowed with water perished. Now, he's talking about Noah's flood. Now, I want us to take a look at Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. Because they're saying that, look, everything is just continuing the way it were. There was no divine, no kind of cataclysmic event, nothing big really, really happened. Everything just evolved really, really slowly. Now look at this here. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5. It said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, you can go back to, Now, when you look at that verse, you think their thoughts were stirred up as far as the things of God? No. It says every imagination, everything that they were thinking about were constantly wicked. All right? Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. Verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. All it means that God was hurt when he looked at, you know, creation. Now, remember, we're in chapter 6, all right? Verses 1 and 2, everything was good. So something drastically happened in chapters 3 and, in 4 and 5 to say now that God, look, man, I almost wish I never created him. Now, what is going on here? You know, so let's keep going. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Not you're just going to die and you're just going to be born. You know, nothing changed from since the time our fathers died and all that stuff. God said, no, I'm going to do it. I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. Now, why would God kill the animals and stuff? Man, can a person or human be so wicked that even the birds is doing all kind of crazy stuff? The dogs just want to bite you. You know, like you know, you got your cat, and every time you walk in, you know, you just want to attack. God is destroying everything that's living, right? Okay, verse 8. But Noah. See, that's always going to be a remnant. That's always going to be one righteous. You know what I'm saying? And I hope and pray that God, if when he's looking down here on earth, can he look in Lafayette and see, you know, one righteous. Can he say, but, you know, yeah, whatever your name is. Right? He says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Now, when it says perfect, it's not saying that Noah was a form of Jesus, right? It's saying that he was a righteous man. He walked upright before God. I'm sure Noah had some faults, because we could read a little bit further down. Man, after Noah built that big cruise ship and they went on their first voyage and all that, he come back and he got takalau off them grapes and stuff that he was, you know? So, verse 10. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And where does Hebrew people come from? All right, just because some of y'all might think Ham, not. And y'all sure won't come from Japheth. We'll talk about that later on. Let's go to verse 11. And the earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was corrupt. And the earth was filled with violence. Anybody ever have a chance to watch the 6 o'clock news today? What is the difference between the time of Noah and the time that we're living in right now? When you're looking at the news and you're watching it, especially, you know, on social media, where every time you look up, man, there's some type of big fight or somebody being shot and being killed, and they're glorifying this stuff, and that's entertainment to us. The Bible says the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now, at this point, God is getting ready to intervene on the lives of humanity. Right? But that idea that some say, well, no, nothing ever changed. Verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now look at this, think about it. God moved once on creation. He moved again during Noah's flood. What's another time that we can think of that God intervened in the affairs of humanity? Tower of Babel. The boys that was going up there building that tower, they said, look, we won't ever let this kind of God destroy our planet again. We're going to go up there and we're going to overtake God. And them boys was building that big old tower up there, and, you know, God had to confuse their language, and I can hear him now, man. You know, he wanted to say, man, hand me a wrench. And he said, my brother, hand me a patelo que sepa la ripa. Like, who are you talking to? You ain't talking to me. I don't know. You know, but God confused their languages. Another time God intervened on in the affairs of men was Sodom and Gomorrah. The earth was so wicked. The cities were so wicked that, look, God said, man, I got to destroy this thing. So why is it that we can have this idea or this philosophy or this notion that, man, the world can be as evil as it wants, God's not going to do nothing? That's not true. And we know what Abraham did when he saw the angels of the Lord getting ready to go and destroy. Abraham began to plead with God. He said, man, hold up, God, before y'all go and destroy it, they got 50 righteous, man. You think y'all will spare it? God said, in Sodom and Gomorrah, sure, that's 25 in each city, sure thing. Then Abraham figured out that might be pushing. He said 40, then 30, then 20. Then he got down to 10. And, man, you know, there wasn't even 10 righteous in the city. That God had to go in there and destroy that thing. God intervening in the affairs of men. It's like this here, guys. God is going to allow sin to go on for a certain amount of time. All right? Even before it got to the flood, I mean, I think it's in verse in chapter 6, he says that my spirit will not always strive with man. Which means that, look, I'm not going to, God is saying this here, man, I'm not going to always be trying to get you to have a relationship with me, right? I'm not going to always be tugging on you and saying, look, let me provide for you. Let me be everything that you need. He said, and you go constantly saying, nah, God, I don't want that. You know, God said, I'm not going to always be there pulling on you saying, man, come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. God said, I'm not going to always be doing that. So I need to stir up your minds about some things. Don't think that you know, just because, you know, things, you know, you don't see me doing it all the time, that don't mean I'm not going to do it. Verse 7, back to 2 Peter 3. Got 10 minutes now. All right. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, right, this present time, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment for the perdition of ungodly men. All God is saying is here. The same word that spoke this world into existence, right? The same word that spoke and said, let the fountains of the deep and the rain to come. The same word is the only thing that's holding this world right now as we know it without it just imploding upon itself. It says this same word. He says it's being stored up, but this is the thing. God is saying this here, though, is reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God is saying this here, I have to punish wickedness. All right? Now, some of you, and I'm not, you know, I'm not going to look in your direction, but some of you have been playing church. Right? You know how to say the right words. You know how to do the right gestures. You know how to give the church hug. You know? You know how to do all those things. But God is saying, I'm looking for some authentic and true relationship. It says, look, that's a time that I'm gonna punish the ungodly. And he goes down to verse 8, and he says, look, I know I've been, Peter says, you know, I've been telling you a lot of bad things that's gonna happen, right? But he said this, look how he said it, but beloved. Guys, listen here to church. You know, you listen, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as one day. What Peter's saying is here, when you're talking to scoffers and say, look, man, nothing changed. It's been 2,000 years since you talked about the second coming of Jesus. He's not coming back. He ain't came back yet. And God is looking down and saying, man, what y'all tripping for? It's been 2 days. It ain't been but like 2 days, man. And we in year, what, 2017? So that's 2 days, 1.7 minutes, you know, nah, don't, that's probably not right, so just erase that part. But the thing is this here, man, we're looking at this thing like it's been so long, and God is saying, man, it's only been 2 days. God doesn't judge time the way we judge time. You got to remember, man, God said that he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, and he's in the past, he's in the present, he's in the future. He doesn't operate in time like we do, you know? He says, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So when you think about it, it's only 2 days, but to you it seems like it's been so long. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Now God is saying this here, if I said I'm coming back, you can bank on it that I'm coming back, all right? He says, I am not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Now how does men count slackness? They thrive on the idea that just because judgment doesn't come swiftly, they think judgment ain't coming. But I got away with this. I got away with that. You know, man, I got away with all this stuff. And look, God's still blessed. Nah, God is not blessing you. Judgment just hadn't come yet. Don't ever think that, you know, that you see a wicked, or you see a person that you know ain't living right. You know they live in foul, and you're looking at their lifestyle. You say, well, man, why are they getting blessed with a good job and all this stuff? They're not being blessed. The only thing is that judgment has not come to them yet. But it's not coming. Judgment is coming. And it's time for us as Christians to stop looking at the heathen and want to compare our lives to them and say, well, why they got this and why they got that? And then, all right, guys, don't clap too long. Now I just got 6 minutes. We need to stop looking at them and start looking at our own selves. And look, being confident in what God says, being confident in the scriptures and stop, you know, do you take the Bible literally? Yes. Yes, I do take it literally. Now, if I'm wrong in some areas, well, it don't matter. If God said it, I believe it. And how did God say it? That settles it. All right? He says this here, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but it's long-suffering. Now, this word long-suffering in the Greek is makrothemios. All right? So he took two words and put them together. First word, macro. We all know what micro means, right? Micro means very, very what? Macro is the complete opposite of that. Macro is very, very big. Now, that word themios is like a hot, hot raging anger, right? Like a fierce, fierce anger. So what the Bible is saying here, that look, God said, I'm not slack concerning my promises, you know, as some men count slackness, but what I'm doing is this here. All that anger that I have built up against you, I'm holding it all in this big container. In other words, I'm giving you some time to get this thing right. You've been playing church. You've been doing what you want to do. You know your mind ain't been stayed on Jesus, but now I'm giving you some time to get it right. All right? But we quickly say, man, it's been 2,000 years already. He ain't never come back. Well, he's giving you a time to get on the ark. The thing is this here. When Moses was building the boat, right? Think about that. People passing, they in the middle of Iraq. They ain't got no water nowhere around there. And he building this big old boat. Every single day, they had an opportunity to get on board the boat. But what they did, they never got on. But Noah. I'm trying to say, where I'm going with that? Noah was telling them you can get on the boat. The Bible says, just as in the days of Noah, that's how it's going to be in the end of days. Man, they were marrying and giving over to marriage and all that stuff. They're having a good old time, but the water began to fall. And when God closed the boat itself, it's over with. There's no more time now to say, Noah, I want to get on the boat. I got to stop saying that Moses and Noah. I'm confusing my own self. We can't, you know, at that time, you can't say, Noah, I want to get on the boat now. God said, look, man, I'm long-suffering. All this fierce anger, all this rage that I have towards you, because I'm going to tell you right now, God hates sin. And the very thing he hates is just us. Just we sin freely. Like, it's just, man, I'm going to sin if I want. Now, we Christians, we believers, but it's so easy for us to slip up. Oh, I'm just having a bad day. No, you're not having a bad day. Stop making up excuses, and it's time for us to live according to the scripture. God said this here, the Lord is not slacking concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to who? He's holding up that rank anger for who? For us, what? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is saying, look, man, I'm giving you some time to get this thing right. Don't miss the boat because the devil have you so preoccupied with everything that's not important, right? Now, I want you to compare the time that you spend on social media versus the time that you spend in your word. Oh, Lord, I'm even convinced. My own foot hurting. But think about that. We are so preoccupied with things that doesn't even matter. Satan keeps us so busy, so, you know, it's like we always got something going on. And God is saying, look, man, I'm giving you some time. Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. He says, look, man, my spirit not going to always strive with you. I'm not going to always be there trying to get you in. I'm not, the door of the ark is not going to stay open for forever. Because the thing is, even though this container of my wrath is huge, it's not unlimited. And the thing is, once that thing fills up, the wrath of God is coming out. You say, well, Phil, man, God is a loving God. You know, oh, he loves us so much. But if he's all loving, he has to be just. And he has to punish sin. Let's keep on going. I'm almost finished. I'm wrapping it up. It says, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In verse 10, it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, let me ask you this here. When was the last time somebody broke in your car or broke in your house and they say, look, my brother, look, man, me and my boys, we're going to be hitting that thing up by 3:47. So could you leave the doors open? We don't want to break nothing and have all that don't happen. Because if you knew that if somebody was getting ready to break into your house or break in your car, you'd be sitting there with that. That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to even say what the. Some of y'all are sitting with stuff I think is illegal. I'm about to report them. I'm just pointing this direction. That's the board now. But this is the thing. You'll be prepared, right? You'll be ready for that. I can't wait till he walked through that door. I can't wait. Oh, open that door. You all excited. But the thing is this here. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back, and we just live in like any kind of way. Which one is more important? Somebody stealing your grandmother's little watch that she left you? You know? Or your very soul being thrown into the abyss? It says that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And look how it describes it. It says, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, I want you just to imagine, right, when it says, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. You ever been to a bonfire and, you know, you're looking at the wood and the fire is almost mesmerized and you hear the crackle of the wood as it's just given to the heat, like it's just, you know, and it's just, ooh, the fire. And you just kind of stare at the fire. Well, just multiply that sound by 10 billion. When everything around you is engulfed in flame and total destruction, you can't even run from it. Because you got some of them that really think that, man, we're going to escape the tribulation. So we're going to build these underground bunkers. We're going to sell them for $1 million a unit, you know. And people are so ignorant that they're going to go down and spend that money to go underground. What? Underground? All you got to do is have an earthquake, smash everything under there. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens and earth shall pass away with a great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This right here, the day of the Lord, the coming back of Jesus Christ, is going to make Noah's flood seem like a day that blew by you. This is not nothing to play with, guys. This is not something that we should take lightly. This right here is a very, very important thing, and the church is not talking about it. Man, the church, the saints of old, man, they used to, when they'll greet each other, they would say, hallelujah, and they'll use a little code word like, Maranatha. Hallelujah, Maranatha. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Turn to your neighbor and say, hallelujah, Maranatha. Now, this is the thing. Jesus Christ is coming back, right? The day of the Lord is coming. It's already scheduled on the calendar. Now, the question to you now is, will you be ready? Will you be ready? Or will it just happen like a thief in the night? You wouldn't prepare. Think about it. This destruction is coming. It says, man, everything going to melt with fervent heat. All and the works there are that shall be burned up. And I know we don't have verse 11 and 12, but I'm going to just read them, and then we're going to shut it down. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. And he asks a question. No, he not asks a question, but he makes a statement. He says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He's saying that now that you understand what's getting ready to happen, that the day of the Lord is not this thing that you should play with, now how are you going to live knowing that you have that information? Because you can't say when you stand before God, well, you know, do you really want to base your eternal salvation on nobody really knows? Right? Or you stand before God and you're going to say, well, you know, man, I didn't know. God's going to say, man, look, on December 27, 2016, they had this dude up there joking and clowning, and he gave you the gospel. He told you what was to come, but you ignored that. Guys, I'm telling you right now, when I say that the day of the Lord starts out very, very bad, this is for everyone that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, this is the thing. There's three ideas out there. If, you know, Some people believe in pre-tribulation rapture, where we'll get caught up before all this stuff goes down. Some people believe that, you know, we'll get caught up right in the middle of it. Some people believe that, you know, the Christians are going to go through the tribulation. Guys, I really don't care what you believe, as long as you get to heaven in the end, right? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm banking on pre-trib. I'm really, really banking on it. But if I have to go through it, the Bible says 1,000 shall fall at thy right hand and 10,000 at thy left, but none shall come nigh thee. So, church, even in wrapping up, Jesus Christ is coming back. It's already set. It's already been opened. It's already started. It just hadn't finished yet. He's coming back. Will you be ready? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, O God. We give you glory and honor, Lord God, for just stirring up our minds and just maybe awakening us up to the idea that you're coming back, Lord God. Sometimes we know something, but sometimes we just need to be reminded of it. And I thank you tonight, Lord God, for just reminding us that you are coming back. Father, I pray right now, Lord God, for every person in this room, oh God. Father God, that they would be ready, God. Father God, that they wouldn't take what you've done on the cross lightly, Father, that you took on our punishment, oh God. The punishment we deserve, Lord God, you took that and placed that upon your son, Jesus, God. Father, I ask now, oh God, that you would even work in our hearts, God, that we would really take our relationships with you seriously. Father, I pray now, God, that you would just be with us, Father. Father, I pray even as we sleep tonight, God, I pray, Lord God, that you would remind us of your word, that you are coming back, Lord God. In a not-so-distant future, oh God, that you are coming back. And I pray, Lord God, that we can live a life that's upright before you, oh God. That when you come back, that you would say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And not depart from me, you work of iniquity. Father, I thank you tonight for who you are. And I give you glory in Jesus' name. Guys, let me just cover all my bases as far as the gospel is concerned. I know we kind of hinted at it in different areas, but the gospel is this. That you're a sinner, right? You say, well, Phil, how do you know I'm a sinner? You don't know me like that. Well, I can look at you and tell you lied. No, let me not say that. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen something? Have you ever looked with lust? If you ever use God's name in vain, if you broke any one of those, man, that constitutes you as a sinner. And God has to punish sin. So he looks at you, and you're standing in God's courtroom, and you're standing before God, and he looks at you, and you have already admitted to these things. Because if you're honest, you're going to say, yes, Phil, I have broke one of those. All right? And God himself, God the Father, is getting ready to sentence you to life in prison, or life in punishment, which is eternal separation from him. Right? So you're going to hell, right? But in walks this guy you don't even know. He walks into the courtroom, and he says, Your Honor, may I approach the bench? God the Father looked at God the Son. He said, yes. So he walks up to him, and he says, look, Your Honor, I love him. I love her so much that I'm going to go it on and pay her fine. I'm going to share my blood on behalf of her. Now, I want you to understand this here, man. What Jesus Christ did on the cross was a legal transaction, right? Your debt has been paid, so you're free to go. But Jesus looked back and he said, look, man, in order to seal the deal, I need you to do two things for me. And you'd be like, man, cool. You just took my, whatever you want, I'm going to do it. And he says this here. First thing I want you to do is to repent. All repent means is turn away from the things you know isn't right. You know lying not right. Stop lying. You know stealing is not right. Stop stealing. You know having sex outside of marriage is not right. Stop it. Right? And after you repent from those things, Jesus said, now I want you to put your trust in me. He says, if you do those two things, I'm going to grant you eternal life. Right? Too many of us, God done it already. And we know, yes, Jesus Christ died on the cross. But we never acknowledged or came to terms with the two things that Jesus requires of us. So for those of you tonight that feel that, you know, that you need a Savior, normally I don't really lead in the sinner's prayer. But tonight I will. All right? So I'm gonna lead you in this little prayer. The prayer is very, very simple. There's nothing magical about the prayer. But the thing is, when you say it from like a heart that's really saying, God, I really need a Savior. I know if I would die today, if I'm on my way home and my last breath is when I'm leaving out of the parking lot, I know that I would bust hell wide open. I need a Savior. So I'm going to say a little prayer. If you feel that you need a Savior, all you have to do is repeat after me. All right? So let's pray. Dear Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that you are coming back. Dear Lord, I don't want to go through the things that you have said that's coming about in the last days. Lord Jesus, I believe that you came to this earth and died on a cross just for me. I believe that on the third day, you rose with all power. Lord Jesus, the same power that raised you from the dead, arise, my dying soul. Lord God, I thank you for wanting to have a relationship with me. Lord God, come into my heart. Make me new. Give me purpose and give me vision. Show me the plan that you have for my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name. As I'm going to tell you right now, those of you that said the prayer and you really, really meant it, you know, what was said, it's a celebration that's going on in heaven, right? Now, the celebration is only for those that really, really meant that. Sometimes we can get caught up every single week we say the prayer. I'm not telling you not to say it, but sometimes we can just say stuff and not really mean it from the bottom of our heart. And God can see that. So, guys, man, thank y'all so much for your attentiveness and for listening to me go on for a little bit more than an hour. So at this time, I'm going to say a prayer, man, and bless y'all so we can get out of here. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, again, we just thank you, Lord God, for this time, Lord God, that we had to spend with you. God, I give you glory for who you are, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you are the one true living God. I thank you, Lord God, that you are our Savior. Lord God, you don't just want to leave us in our sin, but Lord God, you pulled us up out of that. God, I thank you for that. God, I also thank you, Lord God, for your word. And I pray, Lord God, that you would hold true to your promises where you say that you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek you, O God. Father God, I pray a blessing on all your people here tonight, God, as they get ready to go home. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you would bless them tremendously. Oh God, I pray, Lord God, that they return to just a peaceful home, Lord. That I pray that everything that they need, Lord God, if it's healing, oh God, or if it's just anything with just financially, God, I'm praying, Father, that you would bless your people tonight, oh God. Father God, for sitting and listening to your word. Father, we love you tonight, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, thank y'all so much. Y'all have a blessed rest of the evening. And remember, Friday night, all night prayer. Amen. All right. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you.